It's March 1st. It's March 1st, 2018. Doing another in a series of discussions and talks with different people from West Dubuque backgrounds. Today we're visiting with Brian Heiduk. Brian has a good background of West Dubuque. And before that, Brian, maybe we could start out a little bit before West Dubuque. Share how you got into the area. Farley, Epworth, etc.
Well, Bob, basically I got into the Farley area coming from graduating from Loras College. I was in education and I did my student teaching under you, Bob, and basically worked as an assistant basketball coach that year, and then graduated from Loras, and went with my first year down to Cedar Rapids and was given a science job in the junior high, and from there had a chance to coach a football team that didn't win any games the year before, and they gave me the job, and I said, well, I can improve on that. Well, it just so happened that we won our first six games and we hadn't been scored upon, and I was like some saint when I went to Mass at the St. Pius Catholic school in Cedar Rapids. But later that year, in teaching at St. Pius, I got a call that I was asked by the administration at St. Joe Farley to actually replace you as a teacher and a basketball coach at St. Joe Farley. And I spent 3 years there. And after my third year of teaching, I was asked by Father Lana to go right ahead and become an administrator, because by that time I had picked up my master's in administration.
Where'd you do that at?
And I did my master's was at Loras College. Okay. And it was in secondary ed. I then later in my life continued that with an elementary certification too.
Okay, backing up a little bit, what was your teaching responsibilities at St. Joe's?
My teaching responsibilities basically was in social studies and physical education. I also was also the athletic director during those years, we had some real good times. I remember the two specific things that happened to me personally. One of the things that happened to me personally is I had a back surgery in my in one of my years of coaching and teaching in St. Joe, which was difficult to get through.
How about some of the guys that you coached?
Well, some of the guys that Bill Hafer and Jimmy Demmer were some of the great guards that I had a chance to coach, and Joe Schlemmy and Joe Spoden, and I remember some other good players that came along. I'm sure I'm going to miss some names here,
but
Jim Clayman. Yes, but yeah, without a doubt, Jim Clayman. We always remember Jim Clayman when we were in my coaching against the undefeated Owine Sacred Heart basketball team, and they came into St. Joe Farley, and we had played them twice already during the year and gotten beaten by them by just a few points. And I remember in that second half of that game, we were tied even with them with about 3 or 4 minutes to go, maybe less than that. I think about 3 minutes to go, and the game was nip and tuck, and we had worked on a play during practice that week that included Jimmy Clement coming from the weak side to get the ball, and nobody expecting him to get the ball, and we ran that play, and he scored a basket there, and that put us ahead, and then it wasn't another 30 seconds later we came down and ran the same play again, and he did the same thing again. We ran the same play, and we were good to go, and we upset Owine Jimmy had a lot of good things to say, and I'm sure he remembers that. That was quite a ball game, and of course the fans stormed the court and everything else that went with it at St. Joe. But there was some great basketball, and I remember telling the kids that after we lost to Owine Sacred Heart, then they were undefeated, that we could still beat them. I remember emphasizing to them that we could still beat them, even though we lost twice, and we knew we had them coming at home, and it was good. I think they finally. They took the word that it could happen, and once we got going in that second half, I knew we'd get the win.
So that was the okay then. 3 years at St. Joe's. And discuss that transition to West Dubuque a little bit.
Basically, at St. Joe, I was asked to be a principal because they were looking for an administrator to carry on St. Joe High School, and I knew that the population and everything was getting down at St. Joe, but they asked me if I wanted to be administrator, and I said, "You sure?" Because I had picked up my master's, of course, and it was a great opportunity because I was familiar with the parents and the kids in the area and the surroundings, and that year went real quickly because I was told during that year as administrator that this would be the last year and to close it down, and I remember that being real difficult, but I remember the kids at St. Joe. They really treated the building and everything, and they really took care of the building and treated it with respect as they finished up the last year. And it was a great class, but it was very, very emotional for those kids.
I remember Tony Friedman. Remember Tony Friedman?
Yes.
The janitor.
Yes.
That's quite a guy.
Yes. Yeah.
You're getting to the close of St. Joe's, and obviously you're looking for opportunities out there. What happened in that?
Well, being that the school was going to close, at that time, the public school in the area, of course, Western Dubuque, was busting at the seams down at Epworth, and Mr. Drexler and Mr. Buckman basically got together, and I'm sure they talked with the board members and things like that, that maybe there was a chance that they could utilize from St. Joe Farley the rent the building to put maybe the freshman class in at Farley. They approached me during the year as we were finishing up as principals of St. Joe if I would be interested in coming on as an assistant at Western Dubuque, and I really jumped at the opportunity. And then when they explained the plan, it was kind of like a perfect match for me because I was familiar with the town and the building itself. But to put together 200 plus kids in that building and then coordinate them with the classes down at Epworth, that was quite an ordeal.
They basically had to have half of them morning and half in the afternoon.
Right. Pretty much, we had the basic classes at the we called it then, the West Dubuque Annex. That's what we called it. So, the Annex, we basically utilized the core courses were taught at the Annex. The electives were the kids would throughout the day have electives at the high school at Epworth, and we also had a lot of band kids. Maybe a quarter of our class had band at the middle of the day, surrounded by lunch, and then all the lunch was. But we bused all the kids down to Epworth for lunch, and so the kids spent one or two classes maybe down at Epworth, and then came back and forth with buses. And I look back on it and how we did all that. I'm not sure, but the kids were real, real good. When I was given the opportunity to take on the 200 plus kids and cram them into the West Dubuque Annex at Farley, I thought, we can make this work, because I thought, well, this is a great chance for kids coming from, 16 towns in the West Dubuque district to start their ninth grade year, yet they would be all together under us in basically in one building, and then, work their way through the electives down at Epworth. I thought, what a way to start, and that way they would get to know each other. They got close with the faculty and everything. I say this to make something like that work with all the busing. A lot of people had to work together. Mr. Buckman gave me a very good, strong class, a strong group of teachers at Farley, and those kids had some of the best teachers to start out their freshman year, and there was a great group of kids that worked at or basically went to school at the Annex, because there was a a lot of movement. The kids were kind of on their own and things like that, and they were good kids. I sensed that when the first couple of weeks that I was there. I mean, the kids respected the building, even though it was rented out. They respected the building, and the teachers were really good.
Did they do the phys ed there too?
Or? Yes, they did the phys ed. Okay. Right, the phys ed was done at the annex, and we did in the athletic program at the freshman level was taken. We did that at West Dubuque.
Was there a time in the middle at noon or so in the dead time where nobody was there?
That was when, at the fourth period, when we went down for fourth period, we basically, whatever kids were left in the building, would go down for lunch, because already at third period, the kids that were in band were already down there marching with Mr. Phil Schmitz. But so when we left fourth period and went down, we had all the freshmen in having lunch at pretty much the same time at Epworth. And that left the teachers at Farley to stay there and get lunch, have lunch there. But they also, there was some teachers going back and forth between Epworth and Farley too that were being transferring back and forth. But.
So there was, this was 74
or 5, I think it's right in there, because I was there 71, 72, 73, 74, 74 on up, yeah.
So then you go from... Then on three years there?
Went 4 years with four, it, years. 4 years. So basically followed that class there, that freshman class, and really remember that those seniors graduating, the group that started out as ninth graders at the annex and then were graduating 4 years at West Dubuque High. That was quite a class. The other thing I could tell during that freshman year starting out was the sports and things were just getting started, like football and things like that. It was amazing. We put a freshman team out for football, and they started out pretty, just learning football, and all of a sudden towards the end of the year we had a pretty good football team, and then we had an excellent wrestling program. Mr. Herb Trapp was our wrestling coach, and we had some great things on the athletic side that you could see that we're building with that class at that time, because really football at the senior high level was just getting started. It was in its infancy.
Did they have like the wrestling meets at all or at Farley, or did they do them at Epworth?
Basically, we had the wrestling meets. We had the girls and boys basketball at Farley at that time, and I basically handled all the athletics. He let me handle that everything there too. So Mr. Buckman, when I say he, Mr. Buckman basically turned me loose, and it was kind of a great training for me. And he trusted me to do a good job, and I always remember him giving me that opportunity. He also gave me a great staff to work with at that time.
I heard you also had a great opportunity to fill in on a boys' basketball game one Saturday when one of the coaches didn't show up.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I jumped at the opportunity, but I tell you, I was always, being athletic director, I ended up having the keys to the building. I had to open it up on a Saturday morning, but there was one time where the school, I think, I'm sure it was one of the schools from Dubuque, was there and ready to go, the officials and everything, and we didn't have our coach with us at that time, and I definitely had to fill in, and I know it was right into the first quarter. I still had that name. I'm not sure if we were winning or losing, but I wasn't sure how long I was going to have to go with. But I had enough experience, and I kind of enjoyed it. But that didn't happen again. I can guarantee you that.
Okay, so now we're at the end of that segment of at St. Joe's. Guess the decision was made not to rent the facility any longer.
Yeah, right. And that was at that time, and there was some movement down at West Dubuque, and I was, I had an opportunity then to basically move in as an assistant principal at West Dubuque Junior High at Farley. There I was given like athletic position along with working with Mr. Tom Wickham. And that was going from working with Mr. Ralph Buckman and working with Tom Wickham was basically another learning experience. And it was really fun to work with Tom at that time. it was a little different for me too, because at that time my wife was also teaching at the elementary at West Dubuque and Farley, and she was a fifth grade teacher under Mr. Wickham. So it was a little unusual having there, but I pretty much told him to take care of the elementary group and the kids, and I said I can handle the junior high. So I pretty much worked with the junior high teachers and kids. Yeah, and that worked out pretty good. And that was a full load of working
yeah,
there.
Had to be.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll go sidetrack just a little bit, Brian, as far as at that time also you became a resident of the New Thunder Hills Country Club area. Remember some memories of getting started with your home and playing golf eventually?
Yeah, there was some interesting things there. We decided that we had lived in Dyersville for a while, and then we had a chance to maybe buy some property at Thunder Hills when it was just starting up in its infancy. And of course, a golf course was open already, and I had been a golfer and then played on the golf team at Loras College. And I really, and my whole family and my dad and everything were good golfers and brought me up in a golfing background. So I really jumped at the chance of buying some land and then eventually building a house at Thunder Hills. We had some experiences there of getting to and from school from there and getting through the snow and the fog and the ice and things like that. But it was pretty good. I had, one situation was I had with my wife teaching fifth grade there for a while. I had to, at times had to be careful in a sense that my oldest son Sean would come in at as a kindergartner, and a couple of times he would be instructed to go up and see the principal, and I'd have to take care of those things like that, and rather than sending him to his mother and as fifth grade teacher, they'd send him up to me. But that was fine. And then when there were times when that he would come in with stories about what was happening at home with his mother and running down mailboxes and everything with a car. And I had to be at the school early, so I was there early. And then he'd come in, and rather than my wife coming in and telling me that she knocked out a mailbox going around the corner in a snowstorm, he'd come up and tell me. And of course, that was not something that she didn't want him to do, but it happened anyway. But it was funny.
How about some memories of some of the staff people you worked with, some great people?
There were some really good people. Going back to the annex, I remember Dan Elgin being there, and I when I was at St. Joe Farley as a coach and working, Dan was at Holy Cross, and he was hired at West Dubuque to be I think was in social studies at that time, and I knew we had a fine person on the staff there. We had Steve Finley, Ron Dankert, Tom Danner. There were several good people that were there. I'm going to miss some names here and things like that, but there were some excellent people there. And then when we moved over to the junior high, in the elementary, there were a lot of good people there. The junior high staff, I could go on and on and on with Bill Betts and Mike Healy, and Bill, but there were some great people in the junior high. And they definitely had fun. They enjoyed life. They were a great staff to work with. But when it was time to work with the kids, they did their job. They did their job, and the kids enjoyed the teachers at the junior high.
Incredibly talented teachers that were on that staff during that period of time. You mentioned Bill Betts. He was a genius in his own right as far as dealing with kids in so many ways, but he had a little bit of quite a sense of humor about him. And I do recall the one situation, I don't know if you were there when this happened, but he had the support of this girl in his class. He had a tape recorder, and he turned the tape recorder on, and he instructed her to say, "Help me," and then, be quiet. run it a little longer as a tape run and help me. So this went on for maybe 5-6 minutes, and then he took the tape recorder and took it into Wick's office, put it in a storage cabinet behind his desk, and Wick had a air conference.
Right.
Oh my God.
Right.
That was a good example of Bill's sense type of humor that he dealt with.
Yeah, right. And Bill was always easy to find in as far as kids going up and down the hallway. Bill always came to school wearing a doctor's jacket, a white jacket, and it was always funny to see them coming and going. And there were some the shop teachers, Great and Grim, and was there, and
Jim Ziegelmeyer,
right? They never had a problem with kids going in and out of that class. I mean, they just love going down, especially the boys and some of the girls, but just taking the classes like that, and they just come up with projects and stuff like that. And getting back to Bill Betts, the one thing that I always remember, Bill being dedicated as he is, he would work with the junior high, but when they had that sixth grade outdoor education for the sixth graders at the girls scout camp, he would always be there for the days that they were there to make breakfast at 4 or 5 in the morning, and when they would wake up, he would have fed the whole sixth grade class out there. And it was really funny. He would be there, have a meal prepared, and the kids would come and eat and everything like that. And as soon as the kids were seated and eating, Bill Betts was gone. I mean, he was just gone. But it was consistent every year. He did the same thing. And the kids don't realize how great a teaching staff they had. They may look back on it now and say, yes, they do now. But boy, at that time, they didn't realize what they were. Who they were working with.
As far as I know, outdoor ed is still active.
Okay.
However, there was a story last week that Little Cloud is reevaluating their status as far as the future is concerned, use of that property, and they voted to sell off, 50, 60 acres of that property.
Oh, okay.
But still maintain it as a real scout camp, I guess. So
okay.
Still,
oh, that's good to know that.
It's still going.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I always thought that was really good. And, of course, running the junior high program, obviously the big thing as far as the eighth graders was concerned was the trip to Chicago and just to the museums and things like that. That, in a sense, was a trip. The one thing that as an administrator and being on that trip, the one thing I always told Mr. Wickham, I says I was going to name the bus drivers because I would tell him, these are the bus drivers that I want on this trip. Because that was a tough trip in itself, but yeah. To drive through that traffic and everything like that. The kids themselves were good. They had a great time. Never had a problem on that trip,
Yeah, that was. You're talking kids that had never probably been across the Mississippi River.
Right. Exactly. Right. Coming across the Mississippi and when they got into Chicago and the traffic and of course
amazing stuff.
Going up the elevator at the Sears Tower, yeah. Unbelievable, and getting up there and looking over that city. I mean, their eyes were wide open. But that's what the trip was for, and they were given the opportunity by Rexer and the administration. At Farley.
Well, Brian, you had such a great career in the West Dubuque area and the Farley area. Lots of great memories, lots of things that you learned yourself as far as your job is concerned professionally and that sort of thing. And I want to thank you for sharing your memories with us today.
Yes, I appreciate it, Mr. Howard, and thank you again. I appreciate the opportunity to do this for you.
Okay, thanks.